At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We're here. We're here for a very interesting and special review today. I mean, you all see the title of this. Just FYI, we are recording this the day after Comic Palooza, where I have reached a true nirvana, true emotional high. The ascension has fully happened. The fact that I'm still here now is just to let you know just how powerful. How powerful getting married is, and how powerful the podcast is to bring me up from, well, bring me down from being up. And then we get to talk about this movie.
You want to tell the listeners who you got to meet yesterday?
My glorious king, the one and only, the chosen one himself, the goat, the greatest hero, and the greatest villain. He was an amazing pilot, but also a good friend. And he said he loved my costume. The one and only Hayden Christensen. Yes, my glorious king. I'm giving you your... No, this just became an impromptu flower segment. Yes, I love this man. He's also probably one of the most humble, one of the most down-to-earth guys I know now. Because, see... He can, Demetrius can attest to it that, you know, when it comes to like photo ops, you know, there's huge lines and the whole way things go is like, oh yeah, you go in, you may have like a chance to get like a handshake in before take a picture and then you get kicked out. Hayden, different story. Like he's the type to where you go in, you know, you get your handshake and you get your picture, but he also takes the time out to like converse with you a little bit. He converses with you for a little bit. He like reassures you. Like he reassured me because I was a bumbling mess. Yes, I will admit it on air, everyone. Yes, I did. I almost fumbled the bag by like stuttering over my words. This is something I hadn't done before, stuttering. I'm like, holy crap, that man. Yes, the air was getting thick in there. I was a mess, all right, but he was able with just a simple word calm me down. Well, simple words like, hey, you can relax.
Oh man, that's awesome.
And relax I did. I was like, oh, and immediately got right back into me mode. Like
he used the force on you.
You show right he did. And I allowed it too, which is crazy. But yes, Hayden, we love you. Whenever you come back to Texas, I will be there, and you will sign this picture that I got, so that way you can remember. And yes, I will be in the same costume because when you said that my costume's amazing, I resolved to make sure that that costume never gets torn, never gets ripped. It will be in pristine condition for the next time I see you.
Dope. So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech Meech presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right. So today we are reviewing 28 Years Later, a movie that we've been waiting for and anticipating for a long time, something that was very popular and on the just something that was very hype when it got announced that there would be a continuation after 28 weeks later. So before we get into the review of this movie, we will need a strong legal spiegel.
The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is highly advised, folks. This is going to be wild.
All right. So for pre-spoiler chat, just some related recommendations. This is for if you haven't seen the movie yet, want to just kind of hear about what you need to know going into it. There are two movies prior, 28 Days Later, which came out in 2002. 28 Weeks Later, I don't remember when it came out.
2007.
So came out 2007. So there has been about an 18-year gap between the movies. Essentially, there is this virus that was caused, called the rage virus, from the infected chimpanzees that were, they had to view like all the evils of the world that spread.
It was a mutated strain of the Ebola virus. So, yeah.
Yeah. So technically also, which I, when reviewing for this movie and prepping, this is technically not a zombie movie. They are infected and not quote unquote zombies. So that's something relatively that we kind of need to know going in. And also something key, this movie was shot in continuation with, there will be a sequel in January called 28 Years Later at the Bone Temple. So Meech, what do you got? Because you probably have more info for this.
As saying, like, this is another film in the franchise. Yes. And just know that this film was made, actually was filmed using iPhones. So, yeah, and they tried to do their best to blend a modern aesthetic with the, like, grungy, gritty aesthetic of, like, the first two movies, like, try to blend those two styles together. Just know that, at least in the time of this movie, like, pretty much, like, no character from, like, the original, like, for the original two movies show up in this one. And you just, yeah, it's like, the only background you really need is, like, oh, yeah, there was a rage virus, and people is infected, and let's just say that things get pretty tragic over in the UK, and just that side of the world, which I'm like, God bless that it's not in America. Because America gets it enough.
Yes. One other thing that is kind of like right at the beginning, it's not really a spoiler, but kind of it's just like a setup in the title of the movie once it starts. So at the end of 28 weeks later, we see that the rage virus has come to Paris, and they're kind of, you know, we see the infected running around towards the Eiffel Tower. In this movie, with it being 28 years later, essentially European forces / NATO was able to push it back to mainland Britain and basically the UK area. And now there's a quarantine zone around the UK to keep the virus from spreading to other parts of the world.
And Scotland, too.
Yes. So basically whole UK greater area. a lot of countries in there. All right. So with that, we will be getting into the review of 28, the spoiler review of 28 years later in 3, 2, 1.
All right, so as we get started with the movie, it starts off in the 2002. There's this like young lad named Jimmy watching Teletubbies on his old school box TV with his sisters. His mom comes in, tries to lock the room, but then you get the crazy infected with the rage virus. They come and eat, they breaking in, attacking, and all the sisters get taken out. First hit of child death. So
they're watching Teletubbies, which was nostalgic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is 2002, so this is around the time, like, yep, Teletubbies still on the air. The world gets paused. essentially Jimmy, you know, escapes. He runs into a church where his dad is a priest, and he's like prepping, he's like, he's praying and whatnot. He gives his son a crucifix, a necklace, and then the infected bust in and infected him. And then from there you get like this whole transition to like basically text where it basically just gives you what we recapped. Is like, oh yeah, rage virus completely devastated the UK, driven back into like the main British, like mainland, if you will, quarantine, and then all the survivors had to it's every man for himself type deal.
Indeed.
So from there it cuts to a tentative 28 years later at the bottom right hand, where you go to Lindisfarne, which is an island that's actually connected to like the mainland via a bridge, like a plot of land that, of course, like when the tides are up, it completely covers it. But then like during the low tide, it goes down and you can cross. So we have like this community of survivors, very old school, very like, you know, near, You know, like very, very like old school, like very like century-esque, like from a century old. You got Jamie, who has his son Spike, who's playing with a Red Ranger toy, which I have kind of issues with, just in terms of like, because that looked like a Power Rangers Operation Overdrive, but this is supposed to be like
I thought
02.
it was Wild Force for a second.
Nah, it looked like Operation Overdrive. I'm not even gonna lie to you, but that came out like well into like the 07s and 08s. But
Well, technically, in other parts of the world, the Power Rangers would continue.
oh yeah, you're right, cause all of this, yeah, just continuing on, like, yeah, this is all just self-contained into UK area. They're the only ones who got devastated,
How
but
they would get it, I don't know. That's to your point, I don't know how they would get it.
again, that's what I'm saying. It's like, how in the world could you get it? But if it's like 28 years, but it's like 02, so this is like 2030, supposedly, like 2030, and yeah, the rest of the world probably be just fine, so everything would continue as is. Y'all, on the other hand, are probably screwed, so y'all probably would, because you'd think, like, yeah, they'd be stuck kind of in that time, like 02 time period, because
Yes.
everything got stopped. So how in the heck did that get up there? No, we're scratching hairs. That's stuff that is never gonna get answered. But yeah, so we got Jamie, who's played by Mr. Aaron Taylor Johnson, aka Quicksilver. You didn't see that one, did you? And another role which I will never talk about. He got his son, who's named Spike, who's about 12 years old. He's basically like going to do like his coming of age ritual. No, he's like, oh yeah, the communities are like, yeah, you go out, you kill your first infected, and then you become a man. You kill it with a bow and arrows. And then his mom is like very ill. She like stays in the bed most days. But it's obviously, you can tell like the women in that village ha got the whole stay in the kitchen type of deal. And the men are the ones who go out hunting, gathering, all that good jazz. But yeah, so they go out into the forest to try to kill some infected, and this is where we get our first main, I guess you could say, variant, if you will.
Yes,
So
so yeah, go ahead.
yeah, you can take it from there.
Oh, well, just with it, we see kind of like blob-esque. I almost called it a zombie, blob-esque infected, where they're crawling around the ground. There's something that was pointed out when I was doing research that from 28 days to 28 weeks, apparently the virus went down because there weren't enough nutrients for the rage infected. And in this one, it's 28 years later, and technically the virus should have been wiped out itself, but we'll get to that later, essentially. So with that, we see them eating worms and everything. So then Spike, who is kind of giving Sakura vibes the first third of the movie, isn't really doing anything. He's like, yo, take him out. His pops is like, yo, take him out. He kind of hesitates. There ends up being another blob behind him, so they end up essentially getting those two. Then there's like a girl blob infected that Spike is like, no, don't kill her, please. So go to that. I'm kind of going to speed through this part. They run into a mini alpha with it. They get chased back to a, well, before that, they go to a house. They see that there was one person that was tied upside down. They had like scar, they were scarred, like written into them. So his pops is like, hey, I got to teach you a lesson. This person had already turned into another infected. Your lesson is to kill. So with that Spike, he hesitates too much and then the infected breaks free. Pops has to take him out. This draws some type of noise. And well, upon that, they then see the alpha who chases him back to the house. Spike is a dreamwalker, apparently. And then, so with that, the deer, was it deer? Yeah, it was deer. They caused the house to collapse. So with that, they then have to run back to the communion as it's turning into nighttime. Apparently, this alpha zombie is Itachi and is able to run a 4-1 flat on water, on high tide water, because he was hawking them down as they almost got there. There was a really cool shot of just like, since there's no electricity, there's no like light pollution, so you can kind of see the stars, the atmosphere, galaxy, and type like that. But as the alpha is hunting them down, almost gets to them. Then they call the people. People hit them with a flaming crossbow bolt, takes them out. And throughout the first part of this movie, we see kind of just interplays with a poem that is from the 1900s about World War One, about having to continuously move forward. And we see shots of also medieval times and like how the knights of the past would shoot arrows into other things. So that goes back and forth. And then we also see some camera cuts of kind of like action-y Zack Snyder-esque action. So from there, we get to a party. Spike is feeling some type of way because his dad is lying about how heroic he was when he didn't do anything. Something that I have to mention because it moves the plot forward is that when they're hiding out from the alphas, he sees a fire. And so that makes him curious about other survivors.
Yep. Yeah, very curious, very curious. He ends up like talking with one of the elders and what was his name? Sam? Or something like that. I forgot his name.
I'm saving everything for later. Keep going.
All right. So yeah. So then he tells him about like this guy named Dr. Ian Kelston, who, as it turns out, is actually Ralph Fiennes, aka the actor who plays Lord Voldemort himself. To which I'm like, oh, I immediately want you dead. But then he's like, oh yeah. So like he's like, He a crazy man. He got like hundreds of bodies. But then of course, moving on a little bit, Spike, he sees like his dad, Jamie, like he goes off with another woman and to participate in some extramarital affairs, if you will. And I'm just like, well, another movie where Aaron Taylor Johnson is a piece of crap. But it's like, because how in the world are you going to cheat on your wife when she's ill? But yeah, so next up, like his Spike, you know, like he straight up just don't trust his dad, but he's still like acting like, hey, what you know about Dr. Kelston? And then Jamie, like he doesn't even try to answer the question.
Nope.
He doesn't even try. But then Spike, he keep pressing on me like, hey, don't you want to help mom get better? And of course, like it gets to an argument, and then it gets very domestic very quickly. And from there, this is when Spike finally grew a pair, and of course, it's over his mother. So Spike actually got like a knife right to his neck. I'm like, oh, this boy finally doing something. Cause at this point I wasn't even caring about the boy at all, and now he's like, oh yeah. All right, I'm rocking with you.
Immediately got the knife snatched then.
Yeah, he did, but still, he had the cojones. So now like Spike, he gets this idea. He's like, all right, me and my mom, we gonna leave. We gonna go to the mainland. We gonna find Kelson. We gonna help get her better. So from there, you see Isla. She gets like episodes, if you will, like where she starts like losing her mind a bit. It's like it's almost kind of like dementia a bit, or like Alzheimer's, where like she often calls like Spike like her dad. So and then here comes some more idiots. So we got some NATO troops, you know, arriving on the scene. They're chasing some infected.
They were Swedish. No, they were running away from the infected. They were not chasing.
I said chasing. Oh, my bad. That was a Freudian slip. That's crazy. but yeah, they were getting chased. A lot of them, you know, get taken out, either becoming infected or becoming lunch. And you get this one dude named Eric. I'm like, oh Lord, he's already insufferable as a character. I already didn't like him. So they survive. They encounter another alpha who ends up like pulling a Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero fatality with the head ripped. I'm like, hey, yo. So
use it as a weapon.
Exactly. So I'm like, hey, yo. So Spike and Isla, you know, they keep going. They keep moving, pushing. They're getting chased by infected. And they hide in a gas station. But then Eric shoots, blows all of them to Kingdom Come.
Because there's blue death in the air.
I'm like, hey, yo. But then he says a crazy line. It's like, why did I save you if you couldn't do anything for me?
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Yes, because to your point, like you were saying, they are Swedish, well, Swedish troops. Well, he's Swedish, and they essentially their boat hit something. They got on life rafts, and then the wind blew them to land as they tried to avoid going to land. So essentially he was like, hey, Spike, you and your mom on the mainland, can you please help us? What happens next? And essentially, but with that, his phone also dies. So then we get into a part where my theater almost collectively puked. I don't know if you want me to cover it or if you want to cover it.
Oh, no, you got this one because I'm going to let you take that one.
So with that, Eric, who actually brought life to my theater that I was in. So I'm surprised you didn't like him, but he brought life to my theater that I was in as the life slowly drained from it. So with that, mother, she hears screaming. And as they go to, it appears to be an abandoned train. So in an earlier shot, we see one of the infected is a pregnant woman. So that is kind of just like, you know, a Chekhov's gun of, hey, at some point we're going to revisit this because it was very blatantly shown. So with that, she hears screaming. She walks in. The infected, instead of ripping her throat out, is like trying to give birth to the baby. So with that, the mom extends her hands and becomes a wet nurse. That's probably not the proper term for someone that helps give birth, but is able to aid the infected with the baby. Eric is like, yo, what are you doing? Please stop. So the moment they show the entire birth. And so the moment the baby falls out of the, you know, where it collects it, the infected chills and then immediately tries to kill the mom, as I knew would happen. So Eric lights up the infected, and then Alpha Zombie Song comes, kills Eric. And then for the next.
What was Eric trying to do before infected, before Alpha showed up?
Was he not trying to kill the pregnant one?
Oh no, he killed the pregnant lady, but
yes,
he was trying to kill
the baby. Yes, because he thought the baby was infected. Through their cursory check of the baby was not infected. But we do know that there are potential carriers from 28 weeks later, and the virus spreads through blood and saliva. So we don't know if the baby's a carrier or not.
Yeah, but then again, at the same time, it's like, when it comes to like the women biology, is like the placenta, ain't that like its own system?
Well, I had to research what a placenta is at work, because I know the doctor mentioned it, and it depends on the virus. I'm guessing this specific virus, because like a crack baby will be crack baby if you do crack. So who knows? I'm willing to let it go. So
yeah, we'll let it slide.
For the next 20 minutes, we see a zombie slong on the screen, which was a fun sight for many people in my theater. But essentially, they run away with the baby. Then they run into the good doctor, who hits the alpha with a morphine dart, blow dart, shows them to kind of like his dwelling place with it. We see the it's not a temple, but the effigy of like skulls.
The bone temple?
The skulls collected. So he takes Eric's decapitated head, cleans it off, and it's kind of just like over this next section, a discussion of death and how to honor the deaf. So he's less crazy than we think he is. He's actually like, in his mind, he's just kind of saying, hey, this is how I'm able to honor the dead. There's stories, there's tales from all of that. So this is how I honor it. Does a check of the baby, says the baby's clean. Then they actually come, he's like, hey, is that what you came for? And it's like, Spike is like, no, I came for my mom. So he does a cursory check of his mom. Turns out she has cancer. Which was taking her out, giving her episodes and whatnot. So with that, have a good conversation. Well, kind of like a deep conversation in that moment. Essentially, he morphines Spike, then morphines her, and then kills her. And then Spike puts her head on top of the effigy, in a sense. And then Alpha comes back, tries to take the baby, morphine Alpha again, and then Spike takes the baby back to his old crib.
Ooh. Yeah, so that was a pretty deep section right there, because again, like, this is the part where you say like, oh yeah, this is where our boy Spike became a man at this point. But yeah, so after this, Spike and Kelson, like, they part ways. Spike actually has the baby. He names the baby Isla after his mom, goes back to Linden Farm, drops the baby off, has like a note for Jamie saying like, hey, this baby's clean. And then he just leaves. But this, when Jamie, like, he sees it, he runs to try to like find Spike, But of course, it's high tide, so he can't go anywhere. And I would say that's the end of the movie. But you know, they had to keep it going because 28 days later, you got Spike, you know, out here catching fish, eating fish, and he gets caught by some infected. He kills one of them, and then he's like running from another set, but then he ends up, I don't know how he ends up at a dead end, and then a strange blonde man and a bunch of other people doing some parkours, acrobatic jumping, and kills all of the infected. And I'm like, who is you? And right when I was thinking that, he goes like, I'm Jimmy. And it's the same Jimmy from the beginning of the movie. And he still carried around the necklace, but now it's upside down and inverted cross. And you're like, ooh. Ooh, yeah. So yeah, it's like he said, like, oh yes, Spike, you and I, we need to be friends out here. And he's like, ooh, stranger danger, red flag alert, flag on the play. Spike, do not go with this man, because this man is crazy. And that's how the movie ends.
All right. So for thoughts on the movie, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Oh no, you can go first. You can go first.
Right, let's hit the alarm. It's time to get it off my chest.
Woo! I knew it because you had thoughts and I was like, nah, you can take it. You can take it.
So it's a two-part. Get it off your chest. I hate this movie on an atomic level. I hate that this is one of my least favorite movies that I've ever watched. The moment that Jim, not Jimmy, Spike, the moment that Spike, was talking to the elder, and then the elder was like, hey, the doctor used to be my GP. In my head, I went, so this idiot kid who just got told at the beginning of the movie is not supposed to leave for anybody is going to escape and try to find the doctor to save his ailing mom, who is clearly sick and dying. So this is going to be pointless, and this is the plot. This is how we progress the plot of the movie. So maybe it's because of I just watched season two of The Last of Us, but these stupid kids that are like absolutely useless that are the protagonists of the movie are so annoying. I cannot take it anymore. I'm literally like the first part of the movie, he is literally so useless, but that's okay. It's a coming of age story. That's what I thought it was going to be. But by the end of the movie, he's like that I think it was a Geico commercial where it's like, I'm a loner and a loner's got to be alone. I'm gonna go off on my mission now that my mother has passed away and I've delivered the baby. And I'm like, this movie is literally three movies. It is a coming of age story. It is a like a mother son bonding story. And then at the end, the Targaryen Power Rangers show up, which was ridiculous. But the thing that really just like kind of like pissed me off, like the mom and Spike had like a beautiful moment. Like it is a beautiful moment. It works in a different movie. It was so unearned in this movie. They did not earn that moment in this movie because you knew she was dying the entire time. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, I'm going to heal her. And the same day, you got her skull, and you're like, bet? Like that's really how it is? Like, what are we talking about here? And then like the beginning of the movie with like the camera shots of like, because we really didn't get into it. So the camera shots where it's like, oh, I'm hitting you with an arrow. And it's like, boom, splat, essentially. Like, kind of like the cool, like I mentioned earlier, the Zack Snyder shots. Getting into my second point,
Oh.
boy, these critics be lying for clout. Boy, they be lying for clout. Because, oh my, see, because this is my point. So with superhero movies, every superhero movie, you'll know by Tuesday whether people like the movie or not. And that's before you even go into the movie. So if you're going to see it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you already know Tuesday, Wednesday, oh, this movie might be trash, which is going to affect your opinion going into the movie. But for movies like this, all the critics are quiet. They don't say nothing. But then it's time for the reviews of it. And it's like, oh, Oh, this is amazing. This is incredible. But we won't tell you until Friday or Saturday when you have time to see the movie. You go to YouTube or whatever, and they have like, oh, clips of the movie. And they're describing it. And there's been so many like exceptions to this movie that critics give it that they do not give to other movies. And like I mentioned with Zack Snyder, like with, say, an Army of the Dead, like critics hate Zack Snyder movies. The last part of this movie is a Zack Snyder movie. There's no way they gave it such a high rating and being like, oh, this is one of the best movies of the year. Are you kidding me? Like I'm telling you, when Fantastic Four and what's the other one? Superman, the Tuesday before those movies come out, you're going to know, you're going to hear so many opinions. You're going to see so many ratings of it, and it's going to affect your opinion of the movie going into it. And I'm not even just caping for all superhero movies, because some superhero movies are trash. But this movie made The Flash and Joker fall out of a deal like Godfather, Godfather 2.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I can't. This movie was bad, man. Like, my entire theater, like, sometimes, like, when the movie ends and you're like, okay, you know, you got a process or whatever, my entire theater was just silent. Like, what did we just watch? Like, this movie is, it's a doo-doo sandwich, man. I have nothing to further to say about this movie, to be honest with you. So you can go ahead.
Well, dang. I don't even know how I can follow that up. The only thing, like, well, there are like many points where you made that, like, yeah, I agree with like the whole spike. But the one I definitely want to get into is just the massive amount of just tonal whiplash, or not just tonal whiplash, straight up genre whiplash. Like, as you mentioned, like, this is basically like three movies in one. And it's like, you don't really get enough time to like bask in one before you immediately transitions into another. And you're just like, wait, when did we get here? How did we get here? Why did we get here? And basically, it's like, I'm just here, like, I'm like, not really getting much horror out of this. Not really, because if you think about it, especially in comparison to 28 Days and 28 Weeks, them infected be scary. And part of the reason why is because they be running and they be in hordes. And then in 28 Weeks later, like, the main threat's not just the infected, but also NATO and the military. Because of the fact, like, hey, at a certain point, it's like, hey, every man for themselves, like, take out infected and non-infected alike. Like, that is terrifying. And then we get to this one where it's like, okay, who are the villains again?
Plot is the villain of this movie.
Yeah, it's like, think about it. Who makes the film, like, consistently scary? I would say, like, it ain't the infected. It ain't them. I can tell you that much. Like, yeah, they pop up and they're, like, annoyances, but, like, folks are actively, like, fighting it. Folks are like, oh, yeah, boom. Okay, they're done. Or like, oh, yeah, they're running for their lives and whatnot. It's like, okay. But it's like not many of them. Because, again, this is 28 years later, and most of the infected are either dead or have, like, evolved into a form where it's like, oh, yeah, they're bloaters. I'm just going to call them bloaters because that's the best way to describe them. Or Gen Alpha. And then, and I'll say, like, it ain't the humans apart from, like, Jamie. Yeah, I'm going to call Jamie a villain because, again, terrible cat, terrible guy. But
the scariest thing about this movie was seeing that bratwurst swing around for like 10 to 15 minutes.
We don't talk about that. It's like, why you think I neglected to mention that, sir? But yeah, and then, of course, like, at the end of it, it's like, it just ends with like, hey, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, that cold open we had from the beginning of the movie. Yeah, that actually went somewhere at the very end. And obviously, like, this is just a tease for the back-to-back sequel, you know? So,
what did this movie accomplish, Mage? What was accomplished by this movie? We found out that, a baby is maybe not infected and was delivered back. What happened? Like, how is Spike so mature now? Like, all of a sudden, he's the Green Arrow? The Green Arrow, all of a sudden? Come on, man. Like, this is
Memento Mori.
Let's get to the awards.
All right. So for my first award, it is, I did a thing where, oh yeah, it's like somebody just shows up. They did absolutely nothing and there is no consequence to it whatsoever. I'm unfortunately going to have to give this one to Spike because, Because again, like he basically Sakura's the entire beginning of the movie. And yeah, sure, he gets his footing later, but by that point we had enough of his character to where it did not matter. Like the tainting was already done. Just think about actual Sakura. It's like we already got tainted to her character, like as soon as she started mocking about an orphan to another orphan. So yeah, he definitely gets an I Did a Thing award, in my opinion.
All right, Spike, please stay on stage. You're getting a new award, the Carl Grimes Dum Dum McGee Award, for being absolutely useless at the beginning of the movie, being useless in the middle of the movie because, again, he literally did nothing in the middle of the movie, the entire part with the mom. And then all of a sudden, he was magically a warrior at the end of the movie that everyone respects and is going to lead the next phase of it. And with this, I'm not mad at that. I just hate the character of this movie. And what's your next award?
Man, it's hard giving out awards for this movie because we don't know exactly what. I'm gonna just say I don't even know how to do this one. I don't even know. Gruesome Death Award. All right. So yeah, the most gory death in this movie, I'm just gonna give it to Mr. Fatality. Getting your head ripped off with your spine attached still. Yeah, that's a pretty terrible way to go. Runner up for that one goes to Eric because again, you got decapitated just on sight. So yeah, that's literally all I can give.
All right, for my final award, it is the Can I Please Go Now award, and I'm giving it to this movie and myself. This is the only movie where I thought about legitimately walking out of halfway through the movie. The only reason I stayed for this entire movie is because I knew we were doing a recording for it and because I was with someone else at the movie, so I could not leave. But yeah, but let's go into tears.
All right, so for our tiers, we got F to S. For our F tier, it's 28 seconds later. D tier, 28 minutes later. C tier, 28 hours later. B tier, 28 days later, not the movie. A tier, 28 weeks later, not the movie. And then S tier, 28 years later, not the movie. All right, so Demetria, I can only take a gander as to which one you're gonna pick, but yeah, what's your tier? What's your tier?
28 seconds F tier. Go ahead.
You know what? See, I'm not gonna be that harsh to it because like 28 sec, but F tier for me it is described as a things where I never wanted to see the movie again.
Meech, this movie made me not want to watch 28 Days Later again. It made me not want to watch 28 Weeks Later again. I'm definitely never watching this movie again. And I'm not going to watch The Bone Temple when it comes out. I'm done with this franchise.
Dang, at least I'm giving it a little more grace, which is actually quite a reversal, Artemis, of who's the more critical one of the two of us. I'm at least giving it 28 minutes later because it at least has a chance to redeem itself with the sequel. Maybe that can redeem it? Question mark?
With the Targaryen Power Rangers now the main characters, unless we do another genre swap in the middle of it.
Maybe they're the main villains.
I don't know. Apparently Cillian Murphy's coming back for that one, so that might
Thank
be
you, Christ.
So let's proceed.
All right, so we have done our review for this movie, and now we're just gonna get into our What's Hot segment. The segment where we go out and we discuss, just all of the things that are coming out in today's time. So we're gonna go ahead and get into it. So firstly, in the realm of anime, we still got One Piece, My Hero Academia, Vigilantes, all good stuff, all good stuff. Go Go Loser Rangers, still solid, solid. Movies, we still got Spaceballs. We still Spaceballs 2, or should I say Spaceballs 3. We still got Fantastic Four, Superman, Ballerina. Megan 2.0 comes out the week that you are listening to this episode. Ironheart will have dropped in the realm of TV. Ironheart will drop for a 6-episode miniseries on Disney Plus, but by the time you're listening to this show, actually it'll release the day prior. So yeah, you probably have already seen it. We also have in the realm of comics, Absolute Bang being an absolute beefcake. And then we got an announcement that's actually gonna bring a whole lot of sorrow to me.
Oh no.
Okay. So everyone knows how much I actually kind of dislike this new Venom series after the certain reveal. Well, they decided to do something in order to try to bring the readers back into its good graces.
I saw it.
But I can't do it. I can't do it. They're bringing back our God of the Symbiotes. They keep bringing back our OG King in Black. They're bringing Null back. And now, here's the reason I'm upset by it. Number one, perfect send-off he had already. You know, getting killed by Eddie as the perfect example. Like, that's the perfect send-off for the character, you know what I'm saying? Why he gotta come back to fight this trash? Why he gotta come back to fix the mess that they wrote themselves in?
Isn't
Like,
there a new leader in the Venomverse too?
kind of. That's the whole Venomverse versus Spider-Verse if you're talking about. But speaking of, Spider-Ham then caught a body. To which I'm like, sir. Or ham. But yes, getting back to Null, you know it's bad if they gotta bring back my goat in order to fix the trash. All I'm saying is if Null goes out like a punk to M Venom, MJ Venom, I'm going to riot, all right? Because there should be no way in any omniverse that MJ Venom should even touch our beloved goat Null.
I mean, when she takes on the mantle of Captain Universe, she will.
Nah, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'd rather have Carnage be the Enigma Force, you know? At least Carnage is Eddie Brock. All right. I'd rather give it to Flash, because at least Flash is a better character. And also, how dare y'all tease us about the fact that Flash Thompson like misses being with Venom and Venom misses being with Flash. If this doesn't end up kind of like how in the Lee Price era, where like after six issues of us hating this, we're gonna bring back a fan favorite Venom to smooth things over, because they're gonna re like after Null comes back, they're renaming the series back to just being Venom again. I'm like, oh yeah, y'all screwed up. But yes, moving on. Yeah, in the realm of video games, Kindergarten 3 is out. Yes, and this is the pure chaos that I love, all right? I'm here for it, baby. And then finally, Sparking Zero is gonna be dropping another DLC character. Shallot from Dragon Ball Legends is finally making his debut, which is insane considering, like, he is a video game exclusive character being DLC to another Dragon Ball video game. This opens floodgates, y'all. This opens a floodgate like crazy. Still waiting on Super Saiyan 4 Diamond Goku though, but this opens so many floodgates. Android 21 can come in now. We can bring in so many. We can bring in like other heroes characters. We can bring Xeno Goku in this mug. 3CC Goku. Give me Kakume Broly. Nah, Kakume Broly. Nah. They ain't gonna put that Broly in, because that'd be too dangerous even for the game. Especially in my hands, I'd kill everyone. But yeah. So that's pretty much all I got. What you have?
Just briefly, the new anime season will kick off, I believe, this weekend of this recording, or next week of the recording, this week of the pod dropping. Jurassic World Rebirth will arrive next week, and with my thoughts on requels at this point, because of this movie, I am now hesitant, even more hesitant to see it than I originally was. But Megan 2.0, hopefully this movie is good. Speak about a genre switch. We will be recapping that movie next week, so you can look forward to that. So let's get into the plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so our Instagram, X for only known as Twitter and Threads, BlurCity22, like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on all notifications. on YouTube and Patreon. We're known as Blur City Pod. Donate a dollar, get access to very exclusive episodes never before seen. We have our Instagram linked, our Discord linked in our Instagram page. We also have our email address, blurcity22@gmail.com, where if you want to send episode suggestions, your thoughts and reviews for you know, various different shows and movies, like, for example, 28 Years Later, makes you wonder, like, hey, is it going to take 28 years later for you to see this movie again? And then also, you know, just in just various different spam mail, if you want to just be sent into the spam folder. So finally, I am the Jedi Bono Mustafar, Instagram, TikTok, however long you got TikTok left. What you got?
All right, for my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Mitri_Dash. That is METRI_DASH. For my ex last Twitter, that is @TheMattDash16. So that's all the energy I have for today. Nate, can you leave the people with some words of encouragement?
When it comes to this, just know that, hey, there's something better out there. if you're going through life and you're experiencing low, just know, hey, if you're feeling like you're at the lowest point of your life, there's only one direction you can go. You can go up. And also, hey, because think about it. You can be Lil Wayne right now with the Carter 6. But hey, that's all I got.
Go see Train to Busan. So, as we say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. That's the Blurred City Podcast.
See y'all later.